Acts chapter 12 is where we are this morning. Holland, thank you for reading that for us. And this, of course, completes this chapter and sort of a break in the book as we'll be going through the remainder of the book in the weeks to come. The next part will focus more on Paul. Up to this point, we've looked more at Peter. And, of course, even last week, as Joe talked about the power of a praying church, and we read the story, and this is the follow-up or the concluding part of this chapter that we want to look at and spend some time on this morning. Got a lot to get through, so I'm going to speak quickly. We've got a couple of special presentations we're going to make at the end of services. So put your listening ears on, I guess. Here in this particular section, we're looking at a man named Herod. Came from a family, a great family, I guess, in certain terms. But for good or evil, families have lasting and powerful influence on their children. The traits and qualities that are passed on to the next generation, and often the mistakes and sins of the parents are repeated by the children. We see that here in this particular family. Four different generations of the Herod family are mentioned in the Bible. Herod the Great murdered the baby boys in Bethlehem. Herod Antipas was involved in Jesus' trial and John the Baptist's execution. Herod Agrippa I, the one from our text this morning, murdered the Apostle James. And then Herod Agrippa II, his son, was one of Paul's judges. So we can kind of see a lineage here in this family as they rule and the power that they have and the traits that are passed down from generation to generation. The Herod that we're looking at this morning, Herod Agrippa I, was he actually related fairly well to the Jewish people. He had a Jewish grandmother of royal blood, which allowed the people to accept him, although somewhat grudgingly. And as a youth, he'd been temporarily imprisoned by the Emperor Tiberius, but he was now trusted by Rome and got along well with the emperors Caligula and Claudius. Herod made some mistakes, and I think that we see that, and even made a fatal error, as we read from our text here this morning. And it was during a visit to Caesarea, which is where he would call home. Of course, the Jews accepted Jerusalem as their capital, but as Rome came in and would take over, they moved some of the power to Caesarea, and this was where Herod lived. The people called him a god, and he accepted their praise. We read that particular verse, and then his demise. You know, like his grandfather and his uncle before him, and his son even after him, Herod came close to the truth, but missed it. Because religion was unimportant, or was important only as an aspect of politics. He had no reverence and no qualms about taking praise that only God should receive. And I think that's where we can glean a lesson this morning. That's where we can say, hey, how does this apply to me? How can I put this in my life? What can I look at and gain from the story this morning? Whenever we become proud of our own abilities and our accomplishments, not recognizing them as gifts from God, as they truly are, we may be placing ourselves in a dangerous position and repeat Herod's sin. Pride. This is not something that we all wrestle with, something that we all deal with from time to time, and I think something that would very much hit close to home if we're honest with ourselves. Pride is that thing that asks, what about me? Or do something for me. Look at me. Look at how the people love me. Look at how the people love to hear the way I can sing. Or look at how the people love to hear the message that I have to offer. Whatever that case may be, or however you might fill in that line, the attention being drawn to me. And I feel that we have leaders in the White House, in the movie house, in the schoolhouse, in the police house, and tragically in the church house, that sometimes have positioned themselves and placed themselves on a pedestal and allowed this sin of pride to enter in and take control. I believe that pride is the heart, or is at the heart of a lot of our issues, within not only this country, but sometimes even within the church. Leaders who are called to be an example set the bar high. They live with integrity, serve with humility, and lead with boldness and courage, or at least that's what is expected. But do we sometimes miss that bar? Here in Acts chapter 12, these verses that we read, and specifically verses 20 through 24, we read of a man who was dealing with this very issue. Herod dealt with this idea of pride. And how he allowed it to enter into his life, you can probably see as you look at his life and how he got to the position that he was in. I'm sure he'd had a lot of attaboys, pats on the back. Good job. We're looking to you. You're going to be the next big thing. And he allowed this pride to come in and fill him up. I think we can see that he was a man full of potential. There in verse 20, as we've already looked at, we see that he was one that people would look to when they were in need. And up until now, he'd really done nothing wrong. Maybe he had dressed up sort of eccentrically in some of his costumes and get up. But that's not much different than sometimes what we do today. There's nothing wrong with having money. Nothing wrong with what money can buy. But it becomes a problem when you allow it to control. And don't give the praise where praise is due. Don't give the glory where glory is due. And accept that to self. People were watching him. Herod stood as a king with potential, and he had great potential. He had an eager audience of Jews that were counting on him to rid the world of the Christian threat and lead them out of the external government persecution. The people were looking for a great leader. Did they make the wrong decision? Cities such as Tyre and Sidon were impacted and influenced by what had happened under Herod's reign. And there were many people watching Herod. Many people watching Herod today too, isn't there, Helen? And that's my next point. We do have people watching. And we don't always realize that. This man was in a position where he knew people were watching. And I think sometimes we feel that we skirt underneath that radar. People aren't watching us. People aren't looking at what we do. But don't be fooled. People are watching. The Bible says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. People see what we're doing, whether good or bad, whether right or wrong. In Herod's case, people were counting on him. He was the leader. And as the leader, not only were they watching him, they were counting on him to make a difference, counting on him to be different. And I think the same holds true with you and I today. People are counting on us, are they not? Counting on us to make a difference. Counting on us to be that difference. We are that light in a lost world. And as the body of Christ, we've got to remember that. As the church, we must remember that we are to make that difference. Also in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." People were counting on Him. And He had people all around Him. He had His circle of influence. They say that 90% are followers and only 10% are leaders. And this is sort of an easy statistic to believe when you hear of how many scams folks buy into, how many rumors people believe. Herod was part of that 10% that was cut out to lead. And that 90% was willing to follow. He had that circle of influence, but he had his influence in a circle. I think we need to remember that. Instead of Herod leading people to Christ, being different, to make a difference, he was leading them in a circle. It was all about the horizontal relationships, not the vertical relationship that we're to have with our Lord. That didn't enter into Herod's mind. He took the praise and accepted it himself. He didn't pass it along. As I wonder if we sometimes fail to do as well. And then we see his demise. We don't quite understand what happened here, but in verse 23, we know it wasn't a... or we understand what happened, maybe not exactly how. Immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died. I asked Carl if he'd get up here and give us the medical breakdown of that, and he said, I don't think I'll do that this morning. A lot of your commentaries that you read give different ideas as to how this happened and what may have taken place during this and his death. Some say it maybe was the guinea worm, which was indigenous to that part of the country, and that's a worm that lives inside you for a while, and the eggs are laid, or right before the eggs are laid, it tries to find a way out of the body. And I had several pictures online I could have put up here this morning, but chose not to do that. It's not a good thing in any way. And we know what happened, and it wasn't a pleasant thing. And it was a result of what? Something I think that you and I sometimes deal with. Pride. So what I'd like to look at for just the next few minutes this morning, I want to ask you a question. How do I recognize pride in me? And this lesson is for me, just as it is for each and every one in the audience here this morning. How do we recognize that? How do we deal with that? We've got to deal with pride, because at some point in our life it does crop up. The story was once told of a minister who had received a Christmas card, and in it was a note from a lady in the congregation. And he said that she was very complimentary about his preaching and even compared him with some of the greats. She finished by writing, "I think you're one of the really great preachers of all time." Later that day, the minister showed the card to his wife. And she asked him, "Well, who is this woman that sent you this card?" He replied, "Well, she's a very intelligent woman in the congregation, and she loves great preaching." He then asked his wife, "How many great preachers do you suppose there really are in this world?" And she replied, "One less than you think." And that's true, isn't it? Sometimes we need that family member to help bring us down, to help keep us where we need to be. And often we receive those pats on the back or that encouraging word, and that's not a bad thing. You'll have young men that'll stand up here tonight, and I know that when they finish, you'll give them words of encouragement. We need to realize in all that we do where the praise should go, and that should be to our God, our Father. Someone made this quote, "Pride, the idolatrous worship of self, is the national religion of hell." Pride can be a very serious thing. How do I recognize pride in me? We know what Scripture says about pride. Proverbs 6 and verse 16, there are six things the Lord hates. There are seven things He cannot stand. A proud look being the first thing on that list. Proverbs 8 and verse 13, all who fear the Lord will hate evil. That is why I hate pride, arrogance, corruption, and perverted speech. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18 says, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride is destructive. I think there are several things. I've listed actually eight on our slides this morning that we can maybe recognize in our life. First one is a spotty prayer life, which would suggest that I'm not actively relying on God. I'm turning more to self. I've passed God and not relying on Him. Possibly weariness is often the result of trying to do more than God intends, which means that I'm not letting Him control my life. I'm not letting Him direct my path. I'm not letting Him order my day, trying to do things on my own. And you know, we live in a proud country. And that to a certain degree is not a bad thing either. We do like to be able to do things. And we strive to do things. And we strive to do things on our own and do them right, do them well. But in our Christian life, we can't do that. We must turn to God in all that we do. Anger. It can mean that I'm not trusting God's sovereign plan and timing. And sometimes God's time is not our time. We must realize that. We become frustrated. Are we turning to God in those situations? A critical spirit. This is simply the sorry act of bringing others down in order to lift up self. Have you ever known someone like that? It'll bring someone down to lift up self. What about a defensive reaction to criticism? The inability to laugh at my mistakes, all maybe suggesting that I think too highly of self. Taking responsibility for success or accomplishments or financial prosperity may mean that I've lost sight of God's gracious and undeserved provision. Appreciate Dennis's prayer before our contribution this morning, these gifts that we have, which were not ours to begin with. We sometimes lose sight of that. Impatience about having to listen or to wait or to serve someone else, or maybe to even be anonymous, or to be led by someone else, all hint at an overdeveloped sense of importance. And then sometimes maybe even the unwillingness to associate or get to know a person or group of people who don't live up to the standards maybe we think that they should. Romans 12:16 says, "Don't be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position." Do you see how pride can enter in? You see how pride can take root before we even know it's there? We may not be looking at self and thinking, this is a part of my life, but maybe some of the actions, some of the things that this list shows are these things that we need to look at and say, hey, do I need to take a look at this? The next question would be, how do we deal with pride in our lives? And you may tell me this is overly simplified, and it may be, but I think it's so true. Three words. Number one, recognize it. That's the first step. Know that it's there. Look at those eight things that we've listed. Do I see those in my life? Do I see those as part of my life? Is there something I can work on, something I can change, something I can try to do better? We're trying to better ourselves each and every day. We're trying to make changes in our life. And that's the second thing, repent of it. We've talked about that. What's repent mean? That's change. Did Herod change? No. We see the end result there. They praised him as a god. He accepted that praise and brought that to self. What happened? And then finally, we have to be ready. Ready yourself to fight it every day. It's a daily battle. Do we ever get to the point where we don't have to look out for these things? If we think we're there, the pride may have taken over. Have you thought about that? This is something we think about each and every day. I am talking to self as much as anyone here this morning. And anytime we have a lesson, it's directed to the entire group. And I hope you see that and accept it that way. Tony Campolo once said, "If you ever start to feel proud, just remember that soon after your body has been lowered into the grave, your family and friends will be eating potato salad and telling jokes, and you'll be history." And that's about right, isn't it? We do have people here on this earth that love us, that depend on us, that look to us. Expect us to make that difference. And we do need to be that light in a dark world. There's no doubt about that. But where do we receive that light? It's not from the sun, S-U-N. It's from the sun, S-O-N. And that's what we need to remember. That's what we need to continually keep first in our mind. And I don't think that was in Herod's mind. I don't think he was looking in that direction as he was taking that praise. God enables us to stand against pride in our lives, but it can only happen when we understand His grace and His mercy. And we have been blessed. God has given us so much. God has given us gifts that we don't even realize. But when we're using those gifts, where does that glory go? Not to self, but to God. That's just a friendly reminder, something I think we need to work on each and every day. Something we can work on every day of our lives as we grow as Christians. As we strive to live that Christian life here on this earth. To make a difference in someone else's life. To be that light in a dark world, yet doing it because of God and what He's done for us. Many here this morning have put on Christ through baptism. You've taken that step. You've taken that initial step and are walking that Christian life, striving day in and day out. Maybe you need a prayer this morning, a prayer of encouragement, a prayer to go to God and ask for something in your life that's amiss. You want forgiveness this morning. Maybe a prayer of thanksgiving. We often forget to do that. Maybe that's something you can do where you stand this morning. But thank God for where you are in your life, for how God has blessed you, and ask Him to help us each and every day give Him the glory in all that we do. You might not yet be a Christian this morning and ready to take that step. If we can assist you in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing.